Amen. And that is where prayer starts, isn't it? I surrender all. I surrender, Lord Jesus. At this time, our children, ages K through 4th grade, may be dismissed for children's church. Miss Deb is going to be leading you today. She is prepared and ready. Excited to have you today. Starting a brand new sermon series this morning called Listening for the Resonance. Listening for the Resonance. We certainly know when things don't sound right, don't we? Like that guitar string, and I didn't plan that, but that B string sounded terrible, and I could hear it. And I knew that if we proceeded, everybody would be thinking about the string and not about, well, maybe not, but I would be thinking about the string and how bad it needed to be adjusted. Everybody's been wanting to do this morning, haven't you?
Yeah.
I had some teen helpers this morning wanting to show me how this worked, and I can't blame them. I want you to imagine with me this morning that this is a swing, and you're in it. You remember the thrill of swinging? Remember when you first got on a swing and it was a little bit nerve-wracking. I remember as a young person, the playground was not always the best place to swing. Because once in a while, someone would come behind you and do the underdog. And you didn't even know it was coming. You know what an underdog is, right? Everybody knows. I'm not going to demonstrate. But you all know what an underdog is. So you're swinging. It didn't take us very long when we were kids to realize that there was a physic principle to this. We could work with the one who's swinging, or we could work against the one who's swinging. I can't explain it, but when you know how to, you pump your feet and pump your body and pump your hands, right? And your head, and you can really get that thing going, and you can work with the one who's swinging, or you can decelerate and bring yourself to a less radical swing. As we look at this ball swinging this morning, we know that I'm pretty much standing in the right place to keep this ball swinging. And if I wanted to increase my swing, I would either push harder or I would back up. Where is the best place for me to apply energy to this ball? Right here. Right here. Right here. It's this principle that I would like to talk about today because I believe that sometimes in prayer we interrupt what God is wanting to do in our lives. Say, Pastor, but prayer is a good thing, right? We ought to be able to, you know, come and just pour ourselves out before God. Yes, that's true. But there's a principle of prayer that I believe we often miss. And we'll talk about that this morning. When God is pushing us, and we're ready for it, and we're eager for it, and we love it, it's awesome when we are ready to receive that energy from Jesus, energy from God, and we just feel like we're on top of the world. And then there's times when we don't want to, I mean, we maybe just ate an elephant ear at the carnival. And the last thing you want to do is get on the swing and have a underdog. Because the elephant ear might just come back up. You know what I mean? So there's times in our lives when we crave God's push. And we're like, oh, this is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You're pushing me to new heights and I'm ready for it. Thank you. And then there's times that we decelerate and we interrupt what God wants to do in us because we're not ready, or we perceive that we're not ready. I want to show you a little video this morning that has to do with the theme of resonance. And this is might hurt some of your ears, so you might want to be ready to plug your ears if you need to. But there's going to be what I hope to be a pleasing tone and a displeasing tone, and I think most of you will be able to pick up on it. So Brad, if you could play that video. It's about 123 minutes. It's about a minute and 23 seconds. So hang tight. It's not that long. Resonance and beat frequency. Remember, beat. Of the weight, the vibrations would not transfer. Listen to what the weight does. Tuning fork is not nearly as impressive. But we went to Rockford last night because I wanted to own a tuning fork. And this tuning fork is 440A, for those of you who know music a little bit. 440 is the standard pitch which you tune most instruments to, I would say. I'm going to demonstrate this. And you probably won't hear it until I put it on a resonating chamber, okay? And then still you might not hear it. Would you fire up this mic, Devin? From that pitch, you can tune the rest of the guitar. Everything in life has a vibration. If you're familiar with string theory, you know that clear astrophysics to microphysics, you know that the study is revealing that everything has vibrations. The Earth, between the Earth and the ionosphere, produces a vibration of something like 7-point-something megahertz. Or hertz. Strings going down past the molecule, down past the electron, the neutron, the idea, and we could never see a string because they're so small, but they vibrate. They echo the Creator. Sermon is entitled this morning, Listening for the Resonance. The opposite of resonance would be dissonance, right? We've heard that term dissidence in the news lately. Dissonance is when there is disharmony. Dissonance is when my string doesn't match the tuning fork. The pitch that the tuning fork is producing. The tuning fork is producing waves. My string is producing waves. And the idea is that with the tuning fork as the standard, I must bring the pitch of the string into agreement with the tuning fork, which is our standard. Listening for the resonance. When one object vibrating at the same natural frequency as of a second object forces that second object to begin to vibrate. We saw that in the illustration, the tuning forks. They were both the same. And because they were in agreement, when you struck one, the other one would begin to vibrate. We'd just pick it up because the waves traveling through would begin to make that. And because it was in agreement, it too could sing the same song. But did you see what happened with the weight? When the weight was applied, and let's just call that sin for a moment. When the weight was applied, something changed. Did you notice in the video, when the weight was applied, when the tuning fork was struck without the weight, it sung just like always, but it would not transfer to the second tuning fork that had the weight on it. And then when the fork with the weight on it was struck, what happened? Beats were produced. That's the wah, 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 wah. And we're all like, oh, that's painful. That's terrible. That hurts. The word resonance comes from Latin and means to resound or to sound together with a loud sound. I know that in prayer, we ask for help and power and wisdom seeking that our lives will resound, kind of like this, that they will resound. This is something we would call kinetic energy. That our lives would resound with His energy, right? That we as the chamber would resound with the same waves that He has given us. Prayer and power makes the demons run and hide, putting the devil under our feet. But before the power that God has for us becomes available to us, we must make sure that our hearts are perfectly tuned to God's heart. This is where we begin our series this morning, Listening for the Resonance. Initially, we are listening for dissonance. We are listening for differences. We are listening for beat between our spirit and God. And we do this through a knowledge of His Word. We bring ourselves next to Him and we listen to His song and we begin to listen. Does my life, does my speech, does my behavior echo the same song of God that He is singing? Or is it something different? This is where quiet listening comes in. Much of prayer is the listening. As we wait to check our spirit against the standard of Jesus Christ. For until our motives, actions, and mindset are in perfect resonance with God's truth, our lives will only produce the Apostle Paul talked about it, a clashing gong or a clanging cymbal. How many of you remember the gong show? All those 40 and older said, yeah, well, maybe 45 and older. The panel of three guests who had these big mallets, and there was behind everybody was this big gong, and they brought contestants on, and some of them produced terrible. It was probably the forerunner of the talent, America's Got Talent or whatever. Okay, except these guys, they were really bad, most of them. And the fun of the show was when one of the contestants would, or one of the persons with the gongs would finally get up, the judges, and gong them off of the show. And that gong had a terrible sound. When we find that we are moving at a frequency different than that of God, we will find that it only produces painful, jarring results in our life and the lives of others. Amen? Overall, I think we tend to understand prayer as primarily dialogue. And I think that's accurate. I think it's good. I think it's awesome. But here's the problem. While that is biblically accurate, I also believe that in our culture, we're pretty bad listeners. Much of what is said and written about prayer seems to be about our active part. And don't get me wrong, that's an essential part of prayer. Our talking, our making an expression to God, our sharing with Him our heartbreak, our plans, our hopes, our dreams. But we have a kind of preoccupation with what we're going to say to God. However, in every conversation, as in prayer, there's a time to talk and there's a time to listen. Amen? Today I want to focus on the listening part. Next Sunday we're going to address the prayer of thanksgiving. The following and final Sunday on prayer, we will address the active part of our prayer, specifically called intercessory war prayer. Intercessory war prayer. By the way, we're putting together, the board is working on getting the movie, The War Room, rented and here so that, and they're just now releasing it to churches so that we can play it, and it'll be a community event. And, as soon as we can do that, they're releasing it sometime in December, and it'll take us a little while to get that. But Jeanette and I watched that movie a couple months ago, and it really changed our lives. And I have been storing some of these thoughts and concepts up as I've wanted to share. Today, I wanted to help us understand the listening part of prayer. This is what God's been teaching me. Here's a barrage of scriptures. Okay, ready? Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look at it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. John 20, 27 and 28. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Revelation 3, 22. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen? Psalms 25, 4 through 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. And we know that the teachers at school always said, shh, quiet down, because they had something to say. Teach me, for you are God, my Savior. My hope is in you all day long. Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among all nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers before listening, that is folly and is his shame. Matthew 4:4, Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And finally, John 5:30, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me, Jesus speaking. Last week, We finished our sermon on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus said, "He who hears these words of mine is like a man who builds his house on a rock. The wind blows and the storms come down and the rains come down and the floods come up. And the man whose house is built on the rock stands firm." This is the word. "He who hears these words of mine will be like a man who builds his house on the rock. He who hears these words of mine and does not put my words into practice is like a man who builds his house on the sand. Rain came down, the floods came up, and the house on the sand went splat." Mother Teresa said, "Prayer is not asking. Prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God, at His disposition, and listening to His voice in the depths of our hearts. This essential part of prayer can easily be lost, because life is noisy, isn't it? Life is so crazy noisy. And bringing our hearts to the point of silence is hard. It's countercultural. God teaches us that His voice is not louder than the noise of our lives, but rather it's quieter. 1 Kings 19, let's read. The Lord said, this is God talking to Elijah, Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before God. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Then Elijah heard it. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?'" That's where he was hiding from Jezebel, because she was trying to take his life. In the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you face God in prayer and silence, God will speak. "Then you will know that you are nothing," Mother Teresa says. "It is only when you realize your nothingness, your emptiness, that God can fill you with Himself. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence. Souls of prayer are souls of great silence." Five things we must listen for this morning. One, we must listen for the silence. Listen for the silence. You're telling me, Pastor, I need to listen for something that's not there. Yes. I'm so looking forward to heaven. I am so looking forward to heaven. About 10 years ago, I put a chemical called Debrox in my ears because I had wax buildup. And ever since then, my ears have rung. And I went for a couple weeks thinking it would go away and go away. And I was thinking, well, it's not going to go away. And it hasn't went away for 10 plus years. I never realized how that would affect my prayer and devotion life. Because it's one of those distractions, one of those thorns in the flesh. You know what I mean? When I'm listening and I want to be in silence and I want to just allow God to just, and I can focus on Him and just be who He is, I get this ringing in my ears. I hear it. When the noise turns down, the ringing is there. And some of you have ringing in your ears, tinnitus, you know what it is. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to heaven because I'm looking forward to silence. Amen. I'm looking forward to hearing nothing. Unless you can not hear nothing, you don't know what that is. And if you can... if you can focus and just listen for the silence, it's a beautiful thing. Let me read some scripture. Jesus constantly withdrew himself to quiet places to pray. Perhaps the noisiest thing in our lives right now is the smartphone. Huh? Used to be the TV, you know, pastors would get up and talk about the TV. You need to turn TV. Now it's turn cell phone off. It's not that the cell phone is a bad thing. It's just that it brings a lot of noise into our lives. You remember that old hymn that says, I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that He gives to me within my heart is ringing. Jesus withdrew by Himself a lot in Scripture. He withdraws by Himself because even in an age without cell phones and an age without TVs and an age without car horns and an age without tornado sirens, Jesus even needed to withdraw. Amen? He needed to withdraw from social interaction. He needed to withdraw from even those that loved Him dearly and He loved dearly. He had to get alone with His Father God in a place of quiet solitude just to hear. The next thing we must listen for is the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin. Conviction of sin. The Bible teaches that we have a sin problem. It's an addiction to behaviors, feelings, that's as real as an addiction that someone experiences to heroin. Our sinful nature has found a way to exert itself. It started with Adam and Eve in the garden, and it's present even in us today, unless we crucify the sinful nature. That sinful nature presents itself, exerts itself. It produces chemical responses in our minds and in our bodies and becomes an addiction. I've got to be first. I've got to be right. I've got to be the top dog. The Bible teaches that we have a sin problem. But, Pastor, we live in an information age. Nobody recognizes the sin problem anymore, and that's kind of true. Google will not tell you that the answer to the brokenness in our world is a sin problem. Google will tell you that the answer to, let's say, hunger in our world is better food distribution. And that's true. Don't get me wrong. But first and primarily, we have a sin problem in our world. It presents itself sometimes as an information problem, lack of information. In fact, all of science is based on the idea that life is like a big puzzle. All we've got to do is figure out which piece goes where, and when we finally get all the pieces in place, we'll have a perfect world. But the Bible teaches something different. The problem with mankind is not an information or lack of information problem. The problem with mankind is we have a sin problem. It is this part of us that is at war with God. And that's why I've called this sermon, what did I call it? What's on the front of the bulletin, Steve? This means war. This means war. Well, I'm going to get to that in a moment. We believe as Christians that the primary problem of the world is a sin problem. The reality is, before we can know the will of God, before we can hear His voice, we have to deal with the sin problem in our life. Please, let's silence ourselves now and listen for the beautiful conviction of the Holy Spirit quietly together. If the Holy Spirit is bringing things to mind, actions, behaviors, attitudes, habits, I've got good news for us today. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. So the first thing we're listening for is silence. The second thing is we are listening for the Holy Spirit's conviction of sin. Thirdly, we must listen for the sound of the death of our will. We must listen for the sound of the agonizing crucifixion and death of our will. This means war. The Apostle Paul could certainly identify with this in Romans chapter 7, 8, and 9. He talks about, I find myself doing the very thing that I didn't want to do. It's that sinful nature rising up in us that is at war with God and says, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do, and you're not going to stop me. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to maintain that behavior. I'm going to maintain that habit. I'm going to continue in the addiction because I have found it to be a way to survive. Remember last week we talked about the reality is God has more for us than survival. Amen? He wants us to thrive. I wanted to use the illustration of war because it is such a vivid illustration of the clash of values. Today, as we look and grieve over the situation in France and Paris, we can certainly see an incredible clash of values between East and West, and specifically the ISIS mindset of convert or death to us. North and South, it wasn't that many years ago that even in our own country, North and South had different values. This means war. And what I'm talking about here is when the ringing of our life doesn't match the ringing of God's truth, this means war. So the third thing we want to listen for is the death, the crucifixion, the nails, the hammer, hitting the nails, nailing our sinful nature to the cross. The Apostle Paul talks about it in these terms. I have crucified the sinful nature with all of its passions and its pride. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. This death does not come easy. Some people do experience this death at the time when they receive Jesus as their Savior. It's a wonderful thing. That usually means that they have been thinking about Jesus for a long time. They know that to sign up as a disciple is going to mean everything. It's going to mean salvation, but it's also going to mean death to self. For many who come to Christ as they don't have any knowledge of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, but they're ready to sign up to receive salvation because they're sin sick and tired of carrying the guilt and the weight of sin and the consequences of their own behavior in this life, and they want to be delivered. And so, yes, Jesus provides salvation through His blood by His sacrifice on the cross. People are saved and they happily receive this salvation which is full and free. Amen. By His grace, we're saved. But then later on, we begin to realize there's still a war going on in my heart. Why am I still fighting God? Why is it that I still want what I want and I'm going to do what I'm going to do, even though it's so opposite of what Jesus would have me do? This is where we begin to listen in prayer for the painful death of our sinful nature that strives to be at war with God. It's an agonizing process. It means the death of our own will to God. It means that all of our future is now His. It means that things that we had planned are not up to us anymore. We present them on the war room table in the light of the Holy Spirit to say, should I go with this or should I not? Because, Lord, I'm going to do what You call me to do. And He rings the pitchfork and He says, does it match? Does this match with the truth that You're seeing in me and in my Word? And sadly, many of us have come to the point of working out this great plan of how we're going to do life, and He rings this, the pitchfork of His truth, this tuning fork, creating this perfect pitch. Sadly, all of what we have built and built our life on, it's ugly. It's dirty rags. It's terrible. It doesn't match. It doesn't ring. And it's then that we say, Lord, just take this desire in me to be at war with You away. Crucify my flesh that I may be singing the same song that You sing. The song of truth. The song of life. The song of love. Dietrich Bonhoeffer stated, salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you your life. As a follower of Jesus who has been redeemed by His blood, we cannot proceed to live a life that is unchecked by God. Can you hear me all the way back? As a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, as one who has received His salvation, we cannot proceed now to live life unchecked by the Holy Spirit. But rather, in prayer, we come to Him, allow Him to ring the truth in our life, and if our life doesn't match with His, it's us that needs to be doing the tuning. Amen. Wow, 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 wow. This crisis of decision and process to completion is called entire sanctification. And it can feel like war between our own desires and what He desires. Just as there is a great disparity between communism and capitalism and wars between East and West and North and South, our spirit in its carnal nature is at war with God, and that must be put to death. It's a painful death. And in prayer, we listen for it. We listen for the groaning of our spirit that surrenders its plans. We listen for the cry of our heart that says, Lord, I had so much built on that. I've got so much pride invested in that. Are You really going to take that away? And we hear, ding, ding, ding. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. And we listen for the groan of our sinful nature as it breathes its last. And we bury it and we roll the stone in front of the wall, the entrance to the cave, to the tomb, and we guard it and we remember that that thing could come back to life at any time. We are human and we will be human until we cross from this threshold into the next. Right now, the grip of the flesh has a mighty powerful hold on us. How much more then shall we be submitted to the Holy Spirit, living daily in concert and in harmony with His work in our lives. Amen. Oh, I want my life to be in harmony with the truth of who He is. Prayer is essential. Through prayer, we listen for the resonance of our desire, our desires lining up to God's love. In prayer, we submit our sins and our plans to God. We not only submit our sin, we present our plans. And we listen. Does it ring true? Jesus, when faced with the cross and His subsequent crucifixion of His life, prayed a prayer of yieldedness to God's plan. Luke 22:42, not my will, but yours be done. Listen for the death of your will in the presence of God. This is prayer. Amen. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and pride. Number four, the next thing we must listen for is our own spirit trying to put words in God's mouth. I've been there so many times. Hey, even well-intentioned, well-meaning, saved and sanctified Christians put words in God's mouth. It may not be so much that we are sinning, but it may be that we are just not so much listening before we just get out there and do what we think we ought to be doing. We need to spend more time listening before we start putting words in God's mouth about what His grand will is for my life. I'm going to go out there and I'm really going to tell the world what God just told me after 10 minutes of prayer. Everything He has for our lives, it's going to be a daily unfolding and a learning process. I'm going to learn more about God in the next week that is going to help me understand and shed light upon the light or the path that I am to walk. Be careful about putting words in God's mouth. God told me to say, God told me about you, God told me that I should be careful. A surrendered will to the Holy Spirit is careful not to put words in God's mouth, because primarily He is the one that does the talking. Amen. We want to be a conduit, we want to be clean, and we want to be careful that that sinful nature doesn't start to resurrect itself and say, I just was with God and I've got a word for you. Be careful, because it could be well, it could be right, it could be well-meaning, but it's so easy to put words in God's mouth. He gets the blame for so much. The reality is we just haven't spent enough time listening. But we do like to rush the process, don't we? I can remember being so frustrated with God. Our first year of college, I was like, why doesn't He just tell me what His will is? It was because I needed to be broken first. It wasn't until that I was broken that I was willing to listen. And by the way, the bottom is a great place to start. Being broken at the bottom is like a man building his house on the rock. Be ready to scrap your plans, because God may have other plans. Amen. Daily. Daily. Finally, number five, we listen for His heart of love and we seek to allow our heart to resonate with His love. The problems of this world, man, I'm telling you, we know things break, mistakes are made, we run out of gas. And if we're not careful, these are the things that we come running to God with and say, God, would you fix this? I need this. I got this bill to pay. I got this thing to, I need this. I need that. God says, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And by the way, God, there's the guy at work is giving me a headache every day. Drives me nuts. He's crazy. God says, wait a minute, wait a minute. Remember that our struggle is not, or your struggle is not with flesh and blood, with each other, running out of gas, things breaking, but our struggle is something else. Your struggle. We begin to think that these are the problems we face. Situational things. My car won't start. I don't have enough money at the end of the month. And don't get me wrong, these are real problems, but remember, our real problem is a sin problem. It's not really whether or not we have enough money at the end of the month. The real baseline, the real heart of the matter is a sin problem. Coming back to there is essential. Prayer is our avenue to God in order to address both the sin problem and our desire for a knowledge of His will. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place, and your feet threaded with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which is with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. There's so much on prayer that Paul talks about in the letter to the Ephesians. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm enchained. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Paul intended this letter to be a circular letter. The letter of Ephesians is different from many of his others. He doesn't name people. He doesn't address specific problems that they sent in to headquarters and said, would you please explain this to us? Paul is just talking about basic theology, and prayer is one thing. Coming in for a landing here. James 4. 1 through 3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight, you do not have because you do not ask God. That's prayer. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives. Boy, we've been talking about that. That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And then 7 through 8, Brad. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I want to invite you to one thing this morning. Come near to God. Listen for silence. Listen for conviction. Listen for the agonizing death of your sinful nature. Listen for your spirit saying yes to God. And before you get up, listen some more. Listen for any dissonance between your life and the perfect standard of God's holiness. When the Holy Spirit shows you, demonstrates to you the dissonance between your heart and the heart of God, come near to Him. and He will come near to you. In silence, let's come before God. May I invite the worship team, please. Let's stand together and sing. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. No other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Our first coming kingdom, are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother.
Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Amen.
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 The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. You are dismissed.